Proverbs chapter 3. In the back on the table where the offering plates are there, I put some prayer cards for my family, my wife and I, and ask you to pray for us. Kim, my wife and I will be leaving on Tuesday evening from Charlotte, and we will visit Santiago, Chile, and visit a missionary family there. Then we'll go to Cusco, Peru, and visit a missionary family there. We'll go to Lima, Peru, and visit another missionary family, not all on Tuesday, by the way. This is like a series of days. And then we will go to Rondonópolis, Brazil, and visit two families. And then we'll go to Recife, Brazil, and visit another family over the next 3 weeks. Now, I don't know if you realize the significance of a visit to a missionary family is so important. Kim is going with me. This is the first time that she has been able to go with me on an extended trip like this. I recently was counseling with one of our missionary families about an issue that they were dealing with, and I said, hey, don't worry about it. I'll be there in about a month. We can spend a lot of time talking about this. And they said, oh, that's great. And the wife said something, and I realized she didn't realize my wife was coming. Not that men are bad at communicating, but apparently he forgot to tell her that I was bringing my wife. As soon as I said to her, because we were on video conference together, as soon as I said to her, I'm bringing Kim, she just started to bawl. And she said, I don't have anybody I can talk to in English. I don't have a friend. I need somebody here. And I realized how important it was for Kim to be able to come. So Kim and I, we raise our support just like every missionary does. And I don't receive a salary from the missions agency. I raise support so I can do what God has called me to do. And my ministry is this. I want to help the world get another missionary. And by me being here on a mission Sunday fulfills my life's purpose. By me going to a mission field to visit our missionaries, I can find out how they're doing, check on their missionary progress, check on our training that we have done to enable them to go. So I ask you if you would, over these next 3 weeks, as you're building up to your 9-day super spectacular end of September, we'll be getting back around the 16th of September, and I leave on Tuesday, so it's about a 3-week trip. We'll visit 6 different missionary families in 5 different places. I need your prayers. This is a grueling trip for a guy to do by himself. And then also, it's 34 degrees in the mornings in Santiago because they're still dealing with their winter. And so Kim is one of these ladies that freeze in air conditioning. And so she's trying to pack for both things. And then the other place we're going to is 95 degrees. So anyhow, just pray for her. Pray for strength for her as well. I certainly would appreciate it. Thank you for letting me be here. Thank you for letting me tell you about our ministry. The prayer cards are back there. I want you to take one. And I want you to pray for our family, if you would, please. Now, you're in Proverbs chapter number 3. By the way, if you didn't bring food for tonight, Pastor said you could stay. That was such a relief because I didn't bring anything either. I was like, whew, man. I was thinking about how do I get to Bojangles or something, you know, and pick up something. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 1. Now, I'm going to read in your hearing 10 verses. These 10 verses come in pairs. In most cases, the odd number verses are going to contain a principle. The even number verses are going to contain a promise. And in each of these, we would call them in literature, you would call them couplets. Now, that's not like two kids that like each other in the primary department. That's different. This is about the pairing of two different thoughts, both the principle and a promise. And as we look at these, I want you to understand that's how they're being presented. And I want you to look for the principle. I want you to also identify the promise. The promise will be identified by the words will and shall or shelter, derivative of those. So as we look at those, I want you to see them. I'm not going to preach on four of them. I'm only going to preach on the fifth one. But I think it's due diligence. It would be to do due diligence to be able to speak on all of these. And so I just want to touch on a few of them and then take the last 2 hours of the message and dwell on the fifth principle. I'm not hungry. Preacher fed me for lunch. I'm good to go for 2 or 3 hours at least. Proverbs 3, verse 1. Let's identify principles and let's identify promises. Principle. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Do you see the promise? When I remember God's law, and when I keep God's commandment, that principle of following the word of God in my life, it lends itself to a promise. What is the promise? That I'll live long. If I govern my life by these principles, I will benefit from its promises. I ought to follow it just because it's the word of God without promise. But there is a promise. At length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. I think that we need to recognize, I don't have peace in my life. I don't know what I'm doing in my life. Follow the word of God. Right. I'm always amazed as people, they'll say to me, well, I'm just going to do my own thing. I thought this thing through. And you realize, well, that contradicts the word of God. And then that same person doesn't have peace in their life. It's as if they've abandoned the principle. Right. Second principle I want you to see. Verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So we identify the promise, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Here's the second principle that we need to remember. I am to embrace and not forsake mercy and truth. Many of us are good at remembering truth. Some of us struggle with mercy. We'll walk around with the law banging people on the head, do right, do right, do right, and then forget the principle also says, don't forsake mercy. And he said, when you forsake not mercy and you forsake not truth, and what you do is you bind them on the neck. So it's like an ornament, if you will. A piece of jewelry that you would wear. You wear that as an ornament around you. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Etched in my heart as a principle ought to be, I live by truth and I live by mercy. Because if God binged us on the head every time we did wrong, we would be constantly walking around binging with a bong, what do you say? Binged on the head, banged on the head all the time. But that's not what God wants us, God does. He wants us to stop walking around always with the truth part, but also to have mercy in balance. I'm not saying abandon truth for mercy. That's ridiculous. They're not polar opposites. They're supposed to be together. Mercy and truth. Moms and dads, apply mercy and truth to the house. That doesn't mean kids don't get spanked. I'm just simply saying be merciful, but also develop truth and say, this is why we do what we do. Here is mercy applied to that. What happens when I do that? The Bible says, I find favor with God and with man. You hear somebody say, I just can't get along with people. Well, if I go back to the principle, what does it say? Don't forsake mercy and truth. Why? Because when I remember to embrace mercy and truth, I bind them upon my neck, I write them on the table of my heart, then I'm able to discover the fact that I find favor with God and with man. Third principle, trust in the Lord with, I'm not preaching on these other principles, okay? This is just introductory. I haven't had my opening prayer, so you can't count the clock yet. Trust in the Lord. Third principle. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Here comes the promise. And he shall direct thy paths. I'm called upon in this principle to absolutely, totally trust God. With every bit of my heart, I am not to rely on my own understanding. And in every time I want to take a step, I should acknowledge God. And what happens? He gives me the path to take. These are life principles by which we should live. Here's the fourth one. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be, there's your promise, health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. What are we talking about here? I am to be humble and I am to fear God. And when I'm humble and when I fear God, it is then that I find strength for the inner man. Health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. The inner core of man is strengthened when I remember to be humble and fear God. You ever meet somebody who wasn't humble? Personally, it repulses me when I see arrogance. Well, first of all, in the pulpit, that's no place for that. I don't like arrogance in the pew, but you know where I hate arrogance the most is in my own heart. You say, well, you are arrogant, about just like you are. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Don't do everything right. Try to, but I do know this. Is that when I learn humility and I learn the fear of God, it is then that I find strength for my inner man. Well, I want to look at this fifth principle because this too is a guiding philosophy of life. These mere principles are philosophies for our life. And I want to dwell on 9 and 10 for just a little while this evening. And I want you to see both the principle and the promise. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Here's the promise. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Right. Let's pray. Dear Father, I want to take this passage of scripture you placed upon my heart this afternoon and present it to your people. What guiding principles we've read thus far. Remember your law. Remember mercy and truth. Remember to acknowledge you. Remember to fear you and to be humble. But God, there's also a part of our lives in by principle that we see in this passage of how we relate to you through the stewardship of our resources. And I pray, dear Father, tonight that you'll help me to simply explain what I've seen in your word. Fill your people with your spirit. Fill this preacher with your spirit. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I look at this passage of scripture. I've been untethered from the pulpit officially. My mic works. In looking at this passage of scripture, I want you to see something with me tonight. I want you to unpack this verse with me and look at it phrase by phrase so we can understand it. Start with the first word, honor. The phrase says, honor the Lord. Andrew, come help me. Where are you, Andrew? Come here. You're such a good-looking guy. Well, just come help me anyway. Andrew, come here. How old are you again? 13 still. From lunchtime till now, you haven't aged any. Well, technically, you have aged, but nonetheless. Now, Andrew, let me fix your collar, really, because I want you, you know, your potential wife could be out here, and I just want you looking right here. Okay, so, now, what do you call your dad?
Dad.
Yes, sir. Does your dad have another name besides that? The name he got at birth? Because I don't think your grandma named him Dad at birth. So what is his name?
Joseph.
So do you ever walk in the house and say, hey, Joe, how was your day?
No.
No, never tried that.
I could kill it if I would.
Should you say Joseph instead? No, it still wouldn't work, would it? Why not? Walk with me. Don't be scared of me. No one's ever died in an illustration that I know of. So why wouldn't you do that?
Disrespect.
It's disrespect. Does your mom have a first name?
Yes, sir.
Besides mom?
Yes, sir.
What's her first name?
Amy.
Have you ever walked over and said, hey, Amy, how's it going?
Yes, sir.
What? Because Joseph would kill you. Right?
Yes, sir.
I say that with respect, Pastor. In deference to the moment. Okay. So you're nervous as could be. Your face is red. This is great. I'm just going to keep you here for a while, just for fun. So Andrew, because of respect, you say to your mother and father, mom and dad, not by their first names.
Yes, sir.
That's appropriate. Who's the highest authority in your life?
God.
Who's the second highest authority?
My parents.
Your parents. Good move on that one. Yeah. Yes, I do. I say dad or mom or dad. Who's standing there? Or my pastor. Yeah. Who's standing there with the paddle? I got to know how to answer this. So the highest authority in your life, earthly realm, your parents. All of life, your mom and dad, or all of life, God. Okay. The Bible says, honor the Lord. Personally, I struggle with understanding the word honor. You say, well, that ought to be easy. It's respect, but it's deeper than respect. It. Have you ever been to court? I mean, have you ever been in trouble with the law? Okay, go sit down then. If you're in a courtroom, perhaps some of you have had that opportunity, experience, or you were just there with a friend. But you're in court, and everybody is there, and they're seated. But the judge walks in, and he's wearing or she is wearing a robe, and the bailiff says, this is what I understand, not that I've ever been. This is what, the bailiff says, all rise. What if you're sitting back there, and you're saying, hey, I have no respect for that judge, I am not standing. Well, that's what I was going to say too. It's contempt of court. What if you're in the military? Anybody ever serve in the military that's here today? Nobody wants to raise a hand. God bless you, sir. In what branch of the military did you serve? Coast Guard. Thank you for serving the interests of our nation. Now, did you have a commanding officer, or were you like the grand poopah of all? And what would be the officer above you? Just the first one above you. Chief Petty Officer. Isn't that something? You can be the chief of petty things. That's always amazed me. Anyhow, so the chief petty officer says to you, seaman, is it seaman? Is that how they, or guardsman? What do they, how do they address you? Petty officer. Okay. So he would say to you, petty officer, do this. And you could say, hey, big guy, not feeling it. No. So it's more than just a title. It is the deepest embedded sense of respect. It is the deepest honoring that we can offer, is to realize someone's power, someone's position, but my own submission to that authority. When the Bible says the principle of my life ought to be that I am to honor God, I see it this way. Brother Bateman, if you would, take the house lights down and leave the fan light on. Or can one of you back there do that for me? I gave this job to Brother Bateman 20 minutes ago. You thought he'd been ready. It's okay. I'm union. I get a break right now anyway. Take them all down. Leave me that one. Are those lights able to go off too? Ah, perfect. Who is in the spotlight? I am. That's all that can be seen. And my bald spot. But that's all that can be seen in this moment. In a sense, this is... Oh, do we need a light for the... Can you see? It's... Okay. I can get my camera and we'll put it on you or something. Okay. So, all that can be seen is this. Pastor is in the shadows. Everybody else is in the shadows. I want to illustrate something, if I could. I believe, for me to understand the word honor, it is for me to say, I will step into the shadows and simply let God be in the light. When I understand honor that way, that means to say that I to take every part of me and remove me from the spotlight. And this is where many of us as believers struggle. I need someone to be God for a second. Who? Come on. Help me. Oh, you're the one with the ugly iPhone case. I remember. Stand there for a second. You have to take an iPhone and you put it in an OtterBox. That says I have no sense of style. But it's go ahead. It's fine. Stand there. Now, here is what I want you to understand. All that needs to be seen in my life is God. See, but who's going to recognize me? Who's going to give me credit? Who's going to see that I've done something? It doesn't matter. You say, well, I'm not comfortable being in the shadows. Then you don't understand this principle. You say, well, give me the promise. I want the promise. Barns filled with plenty. Presses burst out with new wine. Some of y'all are going to get excited about that part, but I'll get to that in a minute. Barns filled with plenty. Presses burst out with new wine. That's what I want, the promise. You don't get the promise till you live by the principle. But now with what am I to honor him? I know you can't read it. I'll quote the verse to you. Honor the Lord. So we've established something using Andrew earlier. Honor is to put in the spotlight the Lord, the highest authority in our life, with our what? Honor the Lord with our substance. What's your name?
Marcus.
Marcus?
Yes.
Marcus, what's substance?
What is substance?
Yeah. Is you going to look at my notes? Milk your own cow, man. I mean, for real. This is so sad. So, let me help Marcus here, because apparently he's trying to cheat on my paper. Substance is everything that I have. My possessions, my family, my spouse. You got one of those? Sitting over there in the homely boy pew over there, I'm not sure. My possessions, my family, my spouse, my children, my house, my job, my wallet, my money. You got money?
Not on.
No, not on you. Yeah, anybody who doesn't bring money to church, that's calculated right there now. Okay. And so in every aspect of my life, my substance is everything I can put my hands on that's mine. What do you own? You got a car?
Not yet.
Not yet?
No.
You got a bike?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
What else you got?
I live in a house.
You live in a house, so you got a room?
Yes.
Got an Xbox or something? You got an iPhone and an ugly OtterBox case. I know that. What else you got? You got clothes.
Yes.
You got awesome shoes. What else you have?
A watch.
A watch. Let me see. OtterBox watch too, yeah. So, whose watch is that? Is it really his?
No.
So, who's... Huh? His brother. You want his watch? I'll give it to you. It's no problem. It's ugly anyway. So Marcus, here, stay with me now. Stay back in the light here for just a second. That watch really isn't yours. Those clothes aren't yours. Your room isn't yours. Your bike isn't yours. Those glasses aren't yours. The truck you're thinking about buying or the car you're thinking about buying, that's not yours either. Whose is it?
God's.
No, you're right. I'm just letting that sink in. This is called pause for effect. It's in the notes somewhere. Now think about it with me, church. This principle says, I take everything that I have, and you checking your watch on me? I mean, I got time. The food's going to be there. that take everything that's mine. House. You have a house?
Yes, sir.
You have a car?
Yes, sir.
You have two cars?
Yes, sir.
You have three?
No,
right.
No.
Yeah.
Sir.
Do you have a job?
Yes, sir.
You have a wife?
Yes, sir.
Is that her?
Yes, sir.
Good. That's good. It'd be awkward if it wasn't.
Yes, sir.
You have kids?
Yes, sir.
God wants you to take everything that's your substance and put it in the spotlight and say, that's his. Marcus, you can be seated. Thank you for helping me. You can put the lights back up, Brother Bateman. I was afraid you were falling asleep. A lot of people struggle right here, and I want you to think about it. Can you put everything in the pile of your life and say, that's God's? Brother Fire, you can take your house, your cars, your land, your bank accounts, your spouse, your kids, your talents, your ability, and put it all in one pile. Walk up and write a new label on it and say, his, not mine. Put his name on it and walk away. Step into the shadows and say, I will put all of my substance in the spotlight and say, it's his. Oh, it's easy when we look at Marcus and say, you know, at that stage of life, I got a room. I got a bike. I got a watch. And some of you, your list is a little longer. Everything needs to be in the pile. If you start to play games with, that's for me, that's for him. That's for me, that's for him. This is an honoring. Honor the Lord with thy substance means he gets everything. Take your name off of it. Brother Cartwright, I was preaching in a church one time from a passage of Scripture where I talked about that God should have everything in our life. And I was preaching in that congregation. There was a physician, a surgeon, actually. And he said to me, he heard me preach and talk about giving everything to God. And he said, Brother O'Malley, I want to talk to you. And he was crying. I mean, he's older than I am. And he was just standing there and weeping. And I said, what is wrong? Called him by his name. And he said, my wife and I made a terrible mistake with our daughter. We sent her to Bible college. She met a man. He wanted to be a missionary. And she brought him home for us to meet him. And when we learned what he wanted to do with his life, we banned her from seeing him. We told her, I do not want to see my grandchildren to go to some far-off place as a missionary kid. I don't want you to take our potential grandchildren and raise them anywhere else but then right here. I do not want you going around the country begging churches for money to support you. I do not want you serving the Lord on the mission field. You break up with him now. He's crying. He said, Brother O'Malley, I withheld her from God. She honored us and broke up with the fella. And he said this. He said, if you ever talk about giving people to the Lord, your kids, I would wish you would tell them my story. She married a fella that we approved of. He wasn't going to be a missionary. He's just going to get a job and do something else and go to church and honor the Lord that way. Except His words were, he was a jerk. He beats my grandchildren. He beats my daughter. They don't live for God. He said, I didn't give God all of my substance. I pulled something out of the pile, and I was wrong. I find that story so sobering, because he now lives with the fact that it's because he made his daughter break up with that guy because he was going to be a missionary. He confided that story with me, gave me permission to share it. I would not share such a story without permission. But I say to you, in the substance of your life, put everything in the pile and don't pick and choose. And say, he can have this and I'll take this. No, the verse says the principle is this. Honor God with your substance. Your substance is everything you are. It is giving the highest form of respect for the position and power that the highest authority has in your life, and putting that in the spotlight and saying, God, this is yours. My substance is everything I can reach and put my hands on. And then he says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and in addition, with the first fruits of all of thine increase. What are first fruits? So if everything is, my substance is what I possess, my first fruits would be that which would be coming of my increase, anything that's coming to me. First fruits go, harken back to an Old Testament prince of law, if you will, that those who were living in that agricultural society would offer God the first and best of everything. In the sense of crops, at times they would even take the crops and go to the end of the field and wave those as a wave offering before the Lord and offer him those things and say, not just, if you put it in the context of the principle of this verse, when, by the way, you realize this verse supersedes tithing, it supersedes everything. This is a life principle of honoring God. And I take everything that I have in my possession and everything that is coming to me, and I tag it as God's before it gets to me. And say, I'll honor him. What I have right now and what he'll give me later, I tag it as his. I honor God with that. You know, today has just been about two simple principles. Love and honor. Love and respect. You say, well, if I give God everything, who will look out for me? Well, first of all, if you take your name off of it and give it to him, what's the promise? Next verse, verse 10. So shall thy barns, what do we do with barns? We put stuff in them. So shall our barns be filled with plenty. So all of a sudden, I'm emptying out everything that I own and saying, God, this is yours. And God says, I'll give more substance for your barns. And then he said, thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, I hold to a position that as a Christian, I do not drink. I think the Bible is very clear in principle, the harms of drinking alcohol. I think it's very clear. Most of our church covenants and our independent Baptist churches hold to the fact we do not drink. The Bible has strong guidelines against that. So when we read a verse like this, you say, well, how do you reconcile your presses burst out with new wine? Understand this. We're talking about, as I see it, a non-fermented wine that is here. And he's saying to us, that not just I'll fill your barns with plenty, but the potential of increase is there as well. Or in other words, the press is bursting out with new wine, meaning that there will be a residual benefit to honoring God with our substance. How old are you, brother of Marcus? 10. They let you sit in the semi-cool pew? You must be all right. Marcus, how old are you? 17. What's your brother's name?
Elijah.
I love that. Cool shirt, cool name. And you don't have to wear the ugly watch. That's awesome. What's your name?
Brandon.
Brandon, how old are you?
17.
17. Christian, you're 15. Andrew, you're 13. Guy at the end. Name, rank, and name and age.
Christian, 16.
Whoa, we got two Christians in the same pew. Or do we have six? I don't know. So, Christian, how old are you again?
16.
So you're an older Christian than he is. This is a gift. Okay, so you guys have, unless some accident happens, you have your whole life before you. I'm not in my teens anymore. Nobody said to laugh. Nobody said to laugh. Start now with this mindset. Everything I have is God's. And everything that comes to me, I'll tag as God's. You say, oh, that's great. Tell those young people. I'm telling them so you'll listen. The longer you work in life, you're trying to save and earn as much as you can to reserve for yourself. And I'm not saying do away with reserves. I'm just simply saying, God, there's nothing in the substance of my life onto which you can't lay claim. It's all yours. For some people, they could never do that. Isn't that true, Pastor? They could never pile up the stuff of their life and say it's all God's. They just couldn't do it. Some would say, well, I'll give God part. And God says, just put me in the spotlight. You get in the shadows, and I'll take care of you. You give here by way of tithe. That is to say that you take at least 10% of your income and you give it here at the church, which takes care of the operations of this church. You also give in faith promise missions. This is where you give above your tithe. There are special offerings that are taken that you give as well, designated for certain tasks or special gifts that you give. All of those three offerings fit under the umbrella of the principle of this verse. All I want to ask you is this. Referencing back to the illustration of the doctor. Is everything in the pile? Kids? No, I'm not talking about the misbehaving kids. He gets all of them.
That's right.
He can have my spouse on her bad day. No, that he has everything that you have in your life, you tag as his. And then you look at potential income and you say, and that's his too. It was Adoniram Judson, a famous missionary to China and American, that on one of his few trips to the U.S. came back. And he made an appeal to young people to go immediately to China. And in that meeting, several young people responded to leave the next day by boat to go to China. And the young people met him after the service and they were just kind of talking about things and the spirit was just high in their hearts and wonderful things. And Hudson Taylor looked back and he saw a father standing partway back in the auditorium and he looked at the father and he said, sir, is there something you would like to say? He said, yes. He said, there in the front is my daughter, my only daughter. And he said, I want it to be known. She's my only child, my only daughter. And I have nothing in my life that is so precious, or too precious is how he worded it, that God cannot have. What was he saying? That God can even have my daughter. if he wants her. The daughter left, sailed to China, boarded a train, and died. Never made it to her duty station. The China Inland Mission Board wrote the father a letter. He gets the letter thinking this is his first letter from his daughter. And he's so eager to read it, he takes the letter out, sits down to read the letter. And it says, "Dear sir, we regret to inform you that your daughter never made it to her duty station. She got sick and she died." The father was crushed, as you can imagine. But it said of his testimony in Hudson Taylor's biography, it is said that the father then took pen and paper and he wrote these words: "Dear sirs, be it hereby known, I still have nothing in my life that's too precious that God cannot have." He said, but he gave his daughter. And he said, but if God wants anything else, he can have that too. Christ said, quoted in Acts, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. What you're doing in your missions giving, in your tithing, in your special offerings, you're honoring God with your substance. But I want you to see this as more about what you carry in your wallet or leave at home like Marcus does. It's more than what you carry in your wallet. It's everything else of your life. One time I went through this kick. I wanted a labeler. You ever see those labelers? And I wanted one with a keyboard. I don't know why, but I just did. I got it. A little brother labeler with the printer on it. And it prints out these labels. I'd type stuff and I'd label everything. My wife was a little weary with it, but I kept pursuing. I wanted a label on everything. I have no idea. They looked ugly, but it was neatly printed. I can't trust my own handwriting, but I typed it all out. I thought, this is great. I love this. Take the labeler out tonight and tag everything and put on there, not mine, his. And watch your life change. You got 6 more months left in your giving for this year. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and your presses will burst out with new wine. A principle by which to live and a promise in which to rejoice. Would you stand with me? Dear Father, tonight I pray that the simplicity of this passage was not complicated by the words that I used, but rather that your Spirit spoke to hearts about this very true principle. Father, may the people pull out the labelers of their life and start tagging their spouse and their kids and their bank accounts and their houses and their cars. Those with few possessions and those with many possessions. And may we look at the substance of our life and say, these are yours, not ours. May our young people see a model of this in our older people. May we all do this. And may we put you in the spotlight. And may we be content shadow dwellers, pointing people to your glory and your honor. For this I pray in Jesus' name. As the music begins to play, find a spot at this altar tonight and just simply say, God, I tag my heart as yours, my life as yours, my spouse, my kids, my house, everything in my life. I don't want to hold back one thing from you. Maybe moms and dads should come with their kids. Maybe kids should just come and pray. Say, oh God, all of my life, I don't want to own stuff. I don't want stuff to own me. I want anything that comes my way to be tagged as yours from the beginning. I want to live by this principle. I want to honor you with my substance. Why don't you come tonight? Maybe you're standing there tonight and you are struggling. It's hard for you. I get that. But I can just point you to the promises of God and say there hath not failed one good word of His promises. Give Him everything.
Would you say?